Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, this is Flora Brown, Blog Talk Radio, welcoming you to Color Your Life Happy. Looks like we have a whole bunch of sounds going on here. So I'm going to see if I can fix that. Hold on just a second. I think I'm on the line double. All righty, now I got off the other line, and here I am welcoming you to Color Your Life Happy for Monday, July 26, 2010. I'm your host, Flora Brown, coming to you live from Anaheim, California, as I do every Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Our show today will inform, inspire, and encourage you. In a moment, we'll begin today's episode, Color Your Life Happy, 10 Ways Social Media Can Transform Your Life for the Better, with my guest, Melissa Gazzetta, the computer tutor. But first, I want to welcome you, all of my listeners, to the show because I recognize that you have many things you could do with your time, and I'm honored that you chose to spend some of it with us. If you're on the phone lines, just press 1 if you want to let me know you have a question or comment. If you're on the web chat, just type in your questions or your comments, and I'll be able to see them and read them on the air. Now, let me remind you that the show is live, so that means anything can happen. Lost signals is the most common thing that happens, and when that happens, all you need to do is just dial in again at the same number you called in the first place, 347-539-5700, or if you're on the computer and something happens, just close it down and go back in the web room. If your call is suddenly lost, you dial in. If you are worried about missing anything, don't worry because everything is recorded and available for you later under on-demand episodes on my show page. Now, if you enjoy the show, don't keep it a secret. On my show page, you can add yourself as a friend of the show. You can also follow me on Twitter. You can visit me and become a fan on Facebook. So there are a lot of ways you can talk about this show and let other people know you enjoy it. Now, for those of you who don't know me, I'm an author, coach, and inspirational speaker. I invite you to visit my website, coloryourlifehappy.com, where you will learn about all the other programs that I have available to help you choose happiness for your life. Now, while you're over there on my webpage, my homepage, be sure to sign up for my free weekly newsletter. And you can also click on the link that will take you to my blog where I post articles every week. And, of course, you can also see there how to connect with me on social media. Now, if you are one of those people who's thinking of starting a business, and a number of people are during these times, but you're not quite sure where to start or how to keep going or how to be certain your business will succeed, I want you to erase all doubt and move forward with confidence because now 3 other entrepreneurs and I have produced a 4-part audio CD series where we tell you what you need to know right from the start to create a thriving small business. The series has 4 parts. And it takes you from where ideas come from all the way through mistakes to avoid in selling your products and services. So to get a hold of the CDs, you can buy them singly or you can buy the set. Go to florabrown.com/know from the start. And that's K-N-O-W, know from the start. Now, if you are local, that means you're in Orange County or you're in the greater Los Angeles area, and you're ready to come out of hiding and live your life to the fullest, I invite you to join me with a group of others every second and fourth Thursday in Orange County. We have an interactive meetup group called From Overwhelmed to Overjoyed, Creating the Life You Want. And at this meeting, we talk about ways to improve our lives, we work on our goals, we support each other. If you're interested in doing that, again, go to my website, coloryourlifehappy.com, and you will see a place to sign up there for the meetup. Now, on this radio show, Color Your Life Happy, each week we talk about ways to create lasting happiness in all the different areas of your life. Each week I interview guests from fields such as self-help, spiritual journeys, relationships, change in adversity, and so on. Today, my guest is Melissa Gazzetta. Hi, Melissa.
Hi, Flora. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us. I want to tell the listeners a little bit about you before we begin. Is that okay?
Sure.
Okay. Melissa Gazzetta is the owner of The Computer Tutor, where she has been providing personalized computer training and consulting in Southern California since 1998. She and her staff are accomplished trainers and consultants with real-world business experience in both large and small organizations. She has helped large companies train their employees, startups, like me, when I was a startup, get their accounting started right, small businesses improve their process, salespeople create better marketing materials. She helps students prepare for the real world. Job seekers go to her to get these callback-worthy resumes. That's what you need. And she even helps grandmas keep in touch with their distant grandchildren. And, of course, she helps average computer users just like you. It is my pleasure to welcome my good friend, Melissa Gazzetta. Welcome again, Melissa.
Thank you, Flora.
Hi. So many people are getting on board the social media train, as you know.
Yes.
But there are many who still hesitate because they just don't see what's in it for them.
Right.
Now, today you're going to be sharing 10 ways that we can transform our lives for the better with social media. But before you get started with that, would you explain what social media is exactly?
Okay, yeah. Social media, and this is my definition, but it really seems to hold up, and nobody's ever disputed me on this, is they're websites designed specifically to enhance online communication and interaction between member users.
Mm-hmm.
So you would sign up for that website, and it's designed specifically so that you can interact with other members. And
mm-hmm.
sometimes you may know those members, or you sometimes may not know those members. So there's because there's such a variety of different types of these kinds of websites.
Mm-hmm.
But that's my definition.
Okay. So the whole point of social media is for people to interact with one another. Unlike
right.
our websites, where when you go to someone's website, you can't really interact with them.
No, right, exactly,
but,
right.
But with all the social media.
So you look at it, you know, at most you might be able to email somebody at the website.
Right.
That's about it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So let's get started. What are these 10 ways that social media can transform our lives for the better?
Well, partly what inspired me to even write this list is I'm kind of surprised, maybe to some people who are involved a lot with social sites, maybe they run across this as well, but a lot of times I run into people who say, I don't even want to bother with social sites. I don't get it. I don't understand what's in it. You know, I don't want people to know my business. I don't care what people had for breakfast. So, and that's true. I mean, I don't really care what people had for breakfast either. But what it does tell me, though, is they may not have the full picture, because I really started thinking about, well, gosh, there's just so much more to these websites than that, what somebody had for breakfast. So I really started thinking about it, and I kind of asked for feedback from my friends, you know, about what they thought of social media, the ones who are using it, and what they really mm-hmm. liked about it. And I would have to say, by the way, that the number one was my first one here, and that is being able to stay connected with distant and probably very busy family members
mm-hmm.
without any long-distance phone calls or time-consuming phone tag, you know, of trying to reach them and spend time in a phone conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could just, you know, sign in. Let's say it's on Facebook. You
mm-hmm.
can sign in and see the latest pictures that they posted. I remember when
right.
my cousin, her kids, one of them is in a band, you know, and she'd posted pictures of them playing, you know, a gig at a park. And, you know, so I didn't have to get that from a phone conversation. I was able just
right.
to see it and kind of, so I kind of know what's going on with them without having to spend a lot of time or money you know, keeping in touch with what's going on.
Right.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, now, that's real.
Yeah, go ahead.
Regarding the pictures, too, another thing is if family members want copies of pictures and you've posted them, can't they just make copies themselves if for some reason they wanted a copy of a picture?
Yeah, usually you can save the picture.
Right.
You can either print it or save it as a picture on your own computer. So you can do that. Like with I would usually try a right-click, save picture as. You can name the picture and put it in your pictures folder, and there you go. Now you have a copy of the picture without them having to send it to you.
That's right. That's a lot faster way to get it, let me tell you.
Right. Exactly. And along those same lines, being able to reconnect with friends from your past without having to go to the high school reunion. And so most social sites have actual tools to help you do this. I know Facebook does. As long as you in your profile say which high school you went to, it has tools to allow you to find others who are on Facebook that say they went to that high school.
Right.
And so somebody from my high school who was a good friend of mine in high school started a group on Facebook as well, because Facebook has these pages, these groups. And I'm going to be talking more about that in my top 10 here. But one of the groups he started was I lived in Newport Beach before it was the OC or something like that. That's what it was. And it's funny the activity that has gone on there. I mean, just thousands of people have joined that group.
Wow.
And again, it's a way to kind of see, oh yeah, I remember her from high school, without actually having to have a phone conversation with all those people. It's just a way to see, like, yay, hey, they're still around and they're doing this and they're doing that.
Right.
To me, it's kind of like a way of being connected without being too connected.
Right. Yeah, that happened to me not too long ago. I got connected with a childhood friend, a guy I haven't seen since maybe almost childhood. But it's interesting because with women we tend to have our married names. So if you've kept up enough to know the person's married name, or like me, I use my maiden and married name, then people are able to find you. And like you say, you can connect, you can exchange niceties, and yet you don't. It's a distant connection. It's not somebody you have to make a plan to go out to dinner, lunch, whatever with, because you're scattered all over the country and sometimes the world. But it's nice to reconnect with some of those folks and catch up.
Right. And as a matter of fact, that is also one of the comments I get from people who have not gotten into social media. Is they're like, I just don't know. I don't have time to, like, reconnect with these people, or And so I tell them this. I said, well, this is a good way to connect, to kind of know vaguely what they're doing and that they're still out there, and what they look like now, maybe. That's always kind of interesting, too.
That's kind of scary.
I wonder if they put up a retouched photo. Or they put up their high school photo. And yet, at the same time, you're not too connected. And in a way, that's good. I kind of like that, you know. It's because I certainly don't have time to be sitting around, you know, shooting the breeze with all my old high school friends and stuff like that. I have too much stuff to do. But every once in a while, I like kind of checking into that page and see what's going on. It's kind of fun.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Okay. Now, another thing that's really important, I think, though, is the career connections that you can make online and on these social sites. Probably the most notable one on that is LinkedIn. That one is one of the first ones that kind of started really early on. When was that, like in 93? When did that one start? I forgot.
I forget
what year that started. It was quite a while ago. And that one is actually geared towards professionals and business people, and it is used heavily by companies for recruiting. As a matter of fact, that's one of the ways that LinkedIn makes its money, is that companies pay LinkedIn to find potential recruits for work, for jobs. And so all you have to do is kind of a passive way to look for a job. You post your information, like your resume, your it's almost like a job site, but not quite. It's like a little bit of, it's not like Career Builder or something like that. It's not quite to that degree. But you post your resume or your work-life information up there, and recruiters can search for keywords along the lines perhaps of what you do, and they can contact you. They have a way of contacting you if they are interested in perhaps offering you, you know, some kind of job.
Uh-huh.
If you're, you know, if you have noted that you are interested in that.
Right. Okay.
One of the things I've gotten from that is somebody was telling me, well, I don't want these people on LinkedIn trying to sell to me.
Uh-huh.
Honestly, I have not come across that too much. I can't say I never had that happen on LinkedIn.
Uh-huh.
But
uh-huh.
Not very much, really. Mostly what I've gotten out of LinkedIn is a couple of things. One is, and so these are all kind of career-related, either good business contacts that put me in touch with somebody who I eventually got contracted to do a training for,
uh-huh.
or people directly who somebody else on LinkedIn told them, hey, you need training? I know this gal who I'm connected to who does training.
Oh,
and
okay.
I end up getting training jobs from it. And I'm an independent. So, you know, I'm not looking for a job, like an employment job. I'm just looking for training jobs that people contract me to do. And so I've gotten that. That's one of the things that I get out of LinkedIn. The other one is the LinkedIn groups.
Okay.
LinkedIn has professional groups. Well, they're kind of groups of all kinds of topics, actually.
Right.
For example, one of them is about social media. Now, when I first really started preparing to teach social media, I would have to say LinkedIn was extremely helpful in how much I learned about social media through these groups.
Uh-huh.
Because the people who belong to these groups write articles, all kinds of information on there. It's almost like a weekly newsletter that you get, what's going on,
right.
in my case, about social media, because I joined a social media group. And so I really learned a lot through the social media groups, and then there's a program I use for my contacts called ACT. There's like an ACT Fanatics group, and the tips I've gotten from there, and I've been using ACT for years. And But, you know, things are always changing. So it's good. It's a way to kind of keep up with some of these programs. And anyway, there is a ton of groups on there that I have learned a lot of information from. So that kind of also falls into the category of learning, which is one of my numbered things here coming up.
Okay. I wanted to say about LinkedIn, you mentioned that the employers are using it to actively search for people.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Also, other organizations are using it because I got an invitation from USC, my alumnus. I'm an alumnus of USC, and I got an invitation at a LinkedIn workshop type thing or seminar online where they spent about an hour talking about LinkedIn, and of course they were pointing out the ways that you can use it in conjunction with the school, but the important thing is there's so many graduates of that school who are in key positions, and it was very informative just for how to use LinkedIn in general, but also how to use it with USC.
Yes.
And I'm pretty sure that other schools are doing the same thing, and other organizations are very likely doing the same thing. So it's,
I know UCLA is, yeah.
Yeah, sure. So it's not any small thing. And, you know, how great it is to be able to contact other graduates who are now in key positions throughout various industries if you have a question or you need a lead or whatever. And like you pointed out about the groups, even just popping in to see what the groups are discussing has been very informative for me because they post questions and then people answer them. Some of the people give very extended answers with links to articles and other sites. So I find it extremely informative and beneficial.
Right. Yeah, I have too. Yeah, one time I asked a question about a smartphone app that works with that ACT program I was telling you about.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh, I learned so much. By posting that question, I got all these answers that really helped me make a decision about which app I needed to have with my smartphone to work with that program.
Right.
And so, yeah, it's great in that way.
Oh, I found the start of LinkedIn. It was in the fall of 2002.
Ah.
It seems like it was much farther back, huh?
Yeah, I know, it does. That's right.
2002.
Okay. Yeah, because that's really early on I got an invitation. But at the time, social networking was so new that
mm-hmm.
I was like, what is this? You know, I wasn't thinking about it back then. And so eventually it grew on me. Okay, then. Another thing in along the lines of career connections, when you own your own business, and if you own your own business, you can establish relationships and credibility and more visibility, and it definitely is more cost-effective than other forms of advertising, and
mm-hmm.
you have a great potential for reaching your target market. People kind of become friends and fans, and it's a great way to develop relationships over time. It's a long-term strategy. It's not like go on and sell. It's more like this is me. This is what I do, and then that way you're just kind of out there, and then sometimes over time people go, you know what, I need that service, or, you know, I need that product, and
right.
and you're not selling it hard, you're just being yourself is really
right.
what you're being, and, well, you know, hopefully in a way that's good, that still has an appropriate business image.
Right.
So, like, for example, I post computer tips. You know,
mm-hmm.
so I'm not out there, hey, come, to, you know, I'm not constantly, like, selling exactly what I do. I'm just out there, hey, I got this great tip, and I share a tip. And so people know what I do, yet I'm not giving them a hard sell. And
right.
so it's a way for them to kind of want to watch my page or watch my tweets.
So where do you put those tips?
I actually have
Which
a blog.
One?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I have a blog. At computertutortraining.com.
Okay.
And then there are tools. I have tools that once I post something like that to my blog or do my emailing, that it automatically goes to my Facebook and my Twitter and my LinkedIn. Those
mm-hmm.
are my three favorite sites.
All right.
And
say those again.
Facebook,
LinkedIn.
And LinkedIn and Twitter.
And tell the listeners about, you said you have it linked. So explain how that works, because that is such a time saver. I think that's what scares some people, is the idea that they don't have time to run to all these different places. So tell them how that link works, what you're
well,
talking about.
Well, for example, there's kind of two ways I do it. One is there's a program called Hootsuite, and that's H-O-O-T, suite, like S-U-I-T-E.
Mm-hmm.
That program's been very helpful. It is actually what is known as a Twitter client. It was originally kind of designed to work around Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
But it really works with all of them. And what you can do with Hootsuite is when you do a tweet, you can tell it, also send it to Facebook, also send it to LinkedIn, also send it to wherever you want it to go to on any other sites that you belong
mm-hmm.
to. And so you only have to do it once, and it goes out to all of your social media sites. That
right.
one has
okay.
been very useful.
Oh, okay.
The other one is I use a program called AWeber for my emailings. And so if I do the tip as an emailing, I have the option of telling it when I do this emailing, also post it to my Facebook and also post it to my Twitter. Right now,
okay.
AWeber only does those two, just Facebook
okay.
and Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And I think so. Those are usually the ways that
yeah,
I share.
Those are such a time saver, and I use the same ones you do. And I find that for people who want to really save time and can plan ahead, let's say like with your tips, you could actually set it up ahead of time and give tips for the whole week or a month or whatever by just scheduling them.
Right, and that's the thing
Hootsuite.
About
yeah.
Both of these. You can and Hootsuite, you can schedule when it goes out, because a lot of times I might have time at 10 p.m. on a Sunday you know, to write something. And, but I don't want it to go out at 10 p.m. on a Sunday because then no one will see it.
Because, right.
Because for those of you, I don't know how much of your audience is using social, but it's a like a news feed. And so when it becomes dated, it gets kind of pushed down the page as
right.
other people's status updates appear. And so you want it to be fresh. So
that's
I want
right.
it to go out on Monday, not on Sunday night.
Right, right, right.
So, which reminds me of one I just did recently, and this kind of also brings into the example of sort of a distant connection with people.
Uh-huh.
I tweeted something about the, and I was telling you about this the other day, Flora, the anniversary of the first women's rights conventions in Seneca Falls, New York. Because its timing just happened to be, and you know, so I thought, oh, I'll just tweet that. So I tweeted that, and it went to my Facebook as well. And then later, when I went back to my Facebook, I saw that five or six of my friends had, there's like a little link called a like, and it puts like a thumbs up.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, again, there were no phone calls or anything like that, but I see that six people enjoyed what I said. And
mm-hmm.
that's kind of cool. It's like you see these little thumbs up things like,
that's right.
you know, this friend liked it. This, you know, you said this. And so that's kind of cool. I like that little feature as well.
Yeah, that's cool. And even talking about business versus personal, even sometimes when you have a business but you post a personal photo maybe of something from your vacation, it helps to give a human face to
yeah.
your business. And I think it makes people more comfortable in doing business with you because they feel like you're a real person with a real family and you're not just hawking your wares, whatever you
right.
sell.
Yeah, and here today, gone tomorrow kind of thing.
Right.
They won't be able to contact you. It's giving
right.
them assurance that, yeah, you're around and they have multiple ways of contacting you and that kind of thing. So.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Another thing that is one of my points is, a lot of people don't think of this one, but I read a story on several years ago in Laguna Beach, there were these wildfires, right? And the fires were bad, and they had to close down the schools.
Mm.
And somebody on Twitter created what's called a hashtag.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember what it was. It was something like Laguna Beach Fire or something like that. Hashtag is a little tool you can use in Twitter to follow a particular conversation. It,
mm-hmm.
it makes it easy for you to find anybody else talking about that topic.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you create a hashtag, it's a way that people can use that hashtag to follow that conversation. So moms were using it because the schools closed down midday. And there was just like this chaos, you know, as parents were trying to figure out what's going on and, you know, what time is the school closing? What can I get in there to pick up my children? You know, all these kinds of issues. So Twitter has come in, as an important tool in emergencies like that. It's easy to kind of create a conversation, again, without making 1,000 phone calls and try
right.
to get a hold of one of the other moms who may or may not know anything about it. Maybe another
right.
mom you don't even know something about it. And
kind of the modern version of the phone tree.
Right, exactly. And so you don't even have to be a follower of another mom when you use these hashtags, as long as you use the hashtag Laguna Beach Fires, and it brings up anybody who's talking about that and using that same hashtag.
Mm-hmm.
And so it comes in handy in situations like that as well.
And I'm going to point out that nowadays with the phone apps, you don't necessarily even have to be on your computer with some of these notifications if you have it set up to go to your phone as well.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Now, another thing is causes. You know, if you can keep up with a cause that you care about, but you just don't have a lot of time for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, anything from political causes, social causes, legal, you know, from conservation, fundraising and awareness programs, things like that, that you might care about, but you just don't really have time to, you know, volunteer, or maybe you don't even have a lot of money, but you kind of want to keep up with what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of a good thing as well. And along those lines, I think also there are tons of support and fellowship types of groups on like Facebook, I know, for example, and informational groups. Mm-hmm. And so you can find groups on Facebook, for example, that are for moms, book writers, divorcees, veterans, dieters, medical issues of every kind, accident victims, crime victims. They all have groups. You know, I know UCLA has one, for example. UCLA has more than one. They have, as a matter of fact, I've been doing some teaching for UCLA, and I was suggesting, you know, maybe they want to do a social media training. That they're considering that, and I thought as part of that, I check and see. Well, I wonder how many UCLA groups are on Facebook. So I did a search. 500. I came up with 500.
So each one is a little different from the other. They're little topics or categories.
There's one that's the official alumni one that's actually created by UCLA alumni. But then there's like all these informal ones. Just about every department has one. So it's, you know, because they have their own issues, each department does, and their own constituents, you know, that kind of thing. So so that's also been very interesting. I joined a book writers group. You know, I noticed, you know, a relative of mine, she tends to belong to mom groups, you know, she's a mom, and you know, sometimes there's a fellowship there that between moms that's just there. Dieters, you know, I've dieted all my life, off and on. And this one was interesting too. I had a very good friend who, unfortunately, about a year and a half ago, he got hit on his bike, but it was a hit and run. And he nearly died. He came so close to death. It was just unbelievable. We didn't think he was going to make it. And he did finally pull through. But they ended up, they were using a website, which I would consider to be a social site, called Caring Bridge. Maybe some of your listeners might have heard of this or seen it before. And what they did was if you signed up for his updates, his family was keeping everybody posted on everything that was going on.
So we knew,
he, by the way, holds the record for the longest stay in UCLA's ICU, intensive care.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And so the whole time he was in intensive care, they were doing regular posts on his progress and all this stuff that they had to do with him and how he had trouble breathing one day, you know, all these kinds of things.
Yeah.
Because he had quite a few people that just loved him. He's just the greatest guy. And so you just hate to see that happen to somebody. And I would look forward, though, to seeing those posts, you know, to be assured that he was still okay and he was going to make it. And so even that I would consider to be, you know, social.
You know, that's an excellent use.
Yes.
Of a site, because now thinking about somebody in ICU, I know when my mom was in ICU, they weren't allowed but a few visitors at a time. And secondly, there was no point in taking them flowers and balloons and things because they weren't allowed to, you know, you couldn't bring that kind of thing in. So if there are a lot of family and friends who want to know about somebody, social media is excellent because you can find out and keep up with what's going on with that person without having to make that physical in-person visit, which isn't allowed and not safe for that person anyway.
Yeah.
If they're in ICU, they don't need all those germs in there. So this is an excellent use of it. And for people who, you know, really care, you can, like you said, you want to know what's going on, and yet you don't want to put that person in danger or overcrowd the room. And then, too, you may be in another city or state and just can't, you know, logistically get to them. So this is a really great use.
He had a lot of family and friends from the Midwest, and so that was a way that they could keep in touch with what was going on. And you could send messages, too, so you could make, you know, responses and say stuff. And not only could the other people see your message, but he could, well, you know, he was having his fiance read this stuff to him. And so you could send messages to him, and you could see
wonderful.
What other people were saying. And so it was very cool. It was just great. As a matter of fact, he just recently had to have a follow-up surgery after all that time. And he still had to have another major surgery recently, and so, you know, they've been updating us on how it went, and and it was always like a big relief the first time he actually wrote the post.
Oh, wow.
So whenever he would write the post, it was like, oh, you know, he's doing
everybody
better.
Was happy.
Yeah.
Now, is this a blog that they set up, Caring Bridge?
Caring Bridge is, like, anybody can go on there and
Oh, anybody can use it.
Yeah. You know, I've
okay.
also seen it used actually in a death situation. So,
okay.
Yeah, a former owner of a company that I worked with passed away, and the company used Caring Bridge to talk about, like, to kind of post out there, you know, when the funeral was going to be and all that kind of stuff, and people could like post their sentiments like, oh, I knew him since, you know, we were 20 years old or whatever.
Wow, that's wonderful.
Yeah,
that just that expands the, first of all, it disseminates the information fast.
Yeah.
It makes it accessible to everybody, but it also extends the number of people who can respond and express their condolences, or in the case of the person who's ill, look at all those virtual visitors
yes.
that they can have without
yes.
them having to physically be there. And that's got to be very comforting to
yes.
read those comments.
Yeah, so that one's called CaringBridge.
Okay.
I can't remember if it's .com or .org.
But we can Google it and get to it, Caring Bridge.
Yeah,
okay.
Caring Bridge.
That's cool. Thank you.
Yeah. And then, of course, I've kind of peppered throughout what I've already talked about is learning. There's just so much learning available out there. Oh, my gosh. Like I was saying with LinkedIn, I have learned a lot.
Mm-hmm.
The tips that I put out there, I'm sure people are learning from what I put out there.
Mm-hmm.
And so there is just everything from, you know, free lectures and webinars on all kinds of topics of interest out there. And a lot of times you can find those through like LinkedIn or Facebook, or some of them are salesy, though. You got to watch out for that.
Sure, sure.
Some of them are trying to sell you something.
Sure.
But still, maybe you're actually interested in that thing. So that
sure.
may be a bad thing. and certainly the stuff I put out there, I want people to learn from. And sure, yeah, I'd like them to sign up for a class, but they may or may not, you know, because mine are just little tidbits. They'll
mm-hmm.
learn something from it. But there's still so much more to learn.
Yeah, you know what? YouTube is a huge destination for people trying to learn stuff.
Yes, it is. It absolutely is. And you can find all kinds of how-tos on YouTube, that so you can learn just about anything on there.
I'm telling you, how to do your hair, how to style your hair.
Yeah.
You have a lot of, of course, amateurs, but they're people who are interested in whatever the topic is, and you can subscribe to those. That's what's so cool. My niece turned me on to a couple of people she subscribes to
yeah.
who talk about how to care for natural hair and what products they use, and they're amateur videos, but they're very informative and
yeah.
helpful.
Right. So, gosh, that's great. I love that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And in addition, you can kind of just, I call it just listening to what people have to say about any trending topic. So if you have any kind of interest in what's new and what's out there, that's another good thing about social media, especially Twitter.
Mm.
You can like follow, like if you're into that, you know, you can follow, you know, Britney Spears or something if you want to. You can follow Ashton Kutcher, you know, and you can't, and it's just a way to kind of stay in touch with what's new, what's out there. If you like the entertainment world, that kind of thing, it's good even for that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say listening, as I was mentioning hashtags before with Twitter, you can just listen or watch for any topic. So one of them I was, well, for, in my business, one of the topics that I look for, well, several topics, is like Word, Excel, PowerPoint. And I have to say
mm-hmm.
Microsoft Word, right, because mm-hmm. the word would be too common.
Too general, yeah.
Yeah, but if I say Microsoft Word, Microsoft Excel, Microsoft PowerPoint, I can watch conversations that mention those words
mm-hmm.
and follow what they're saying. And you might say, well, so what? But I have learned some stuff from that. One is, this is kind of interesting, with PowerPoint and Excel, it's rarely negative. They're usually, with Excel, they're usually really proud of themselves that they just did an awesome formula to calculate something really sophisticated.
Mm-hmm.
Or in PowerPoint, they're having fun with it, or they just did a great presentation, or that kind of thing. But with Microsoft Word, oh, my gosh. from reading that one, you would think everybody hates Microsoft Word. Because they're always trashing Microsoft Word, and it's those kind of
so the people who are happy aren't on there, just the ones who are unhappy, huh?
Yeah, the ones that are complaining, and it's just like, oh, Microsoft Word sucks. So and I know people need training in Microsoft Word. That's part of the problem.
I wanted to mention, while you're talking about listening, for the general consumer, it's a way to find out about products, too, that you are considering buying. I was considering buying a certain brand sofa bed, and it was a popular sofa bed, but I just put in a search for it to see what people were saying about it. And, oh, my goodness, just like you're saying about Word, people had all kinds of complaints and issues, not only with the product, but with the service or the lack of service when they had to try to get the company to send service out or to honor their agreements and so forth. So that kind of thing can save you so much time. And, I mean, the whole consumer thing of what to buy and reading reviews of who's using what, you can pose it as a question in Twitter, you can pose it over in LinkedIn, you can mention it on your Facebook page, and you will get a flock of people responding, or you can, like you said, you can just look up the keyword and see what people are already saying about that product before you invest money in it. And, you know, you may still, I mean, you still have to take into consideration that you're going to have happy and unhappy people no matter what, but it can certainly give you a lot of information to work with before you invest your money.
Yeah, and as a matter of fact, that is one of my points. Ask a question, get 50 responses. Great, you just ask a question and you get 50 responses.
That's cool.
I know. And then overall, it's just sometimes pure entertainment, especially like with YouTube. There are just, you know, videos and of all kinds that are just plain old entertainment. Even on Facebook, you get pictures and videos sometimes that are just entertaining. And so sometimes social is purely entertainment, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Of course not. Of course not. Yeah, I remember that not long ago you and I went to Social Media Day at the Orange County Register, and one of the points that the food editor, I think it was the food editor, was making the point of how much easier her job is in terms of getting feedback from restaurant customers because of social media. Whereas in the old days, she would have to go out physically to restaurants and stop and ask people. And now she can ask questions and get feedback right there on Twitter or Facebook, whichever media she's using.
Right.
And that's a tremendous time saver, let me tell you.
Yeah, right. So we can actually consider this to be a very green medium, right? Because we're not having to drive or, you know, other
that's
than
right.
the electricity of your computer, you know, you're not having to drive out and take a lot of time to do things
and
make too many phone calls.
You know what else? I believe that through because of social media, like with comments on blogs and other places, that you get a better quality of answer, too, than if you were just asking someone, let's say, on a telephone survey or in person. I think because they can think about it a little bit, that you get a better quality answer or response.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's kind of my list, but I also have some cautionary things.
Uh-oh, okay.
Right? Okay. Well, first of all, on any of these sites, you do not want to overlook the privacy settings. I mean, I think some people just jump in and start using it without really exploring what the privacy and security settings are for that site and knowing that kind of information. So when you go on any site like that, find that stuff. You know, I could tell you, for example, where it's at on Facebook, but there's so many other social sites. You need to find where they are. And they're usually going to be in your account settings, sometimes under help. For example, on Facebook, if you go to, there's a tab in the upper right-hand corner that says account. And if you go to account and then privacy settings, you'll find some settings in there that show how much of your information shows and to who.
That's so, very important.
Yes, it
very
is.
Very important.
And so if you tend to be more of a private person, then maybe you only want your information to show just to your direct friends. But you have options of allowing friends of friends to see things. That kind of thing. So really pay attention to that. Don't just ignore it. Know what your privacy settings are and where you can find them. Also along those lines, the security settings, also under account, in the help center, there's a section called security. And this security section has tips on avoiding security problems and instructions on what to do if you do suspect that maybe something weird's going on, like a hack, somebody's hacked into your account or some kind of scam. It has attack you or something on Facebook. Now, it doesn't happen a lot. It's pretty rare, but it still happens. It can happen. And so, because of that, here's one tip. Do not ever send money to somebody who has contacted you through a social site, even somebody who is a friend, without speaking to them by some other means, like by telephone, for example. Because there is a story, for example, of somebody's Facebook account who got hacked. In other words, somebody somehow got their password, got into their account, changed the password. So now they got locked out of their own account. And then that whoever hacked it started contacting friends and asking for emergency money because they're stuck in Europe or something like that.
Right. Oh, I've got one of those.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah, so they were basically like on some trip to Europe, and something happened, their wallet got stolen or something, and they had enough cash to carry them so they can get home, and all that kind of stuff. And people think, oh, my friend's in trouble, go ahead and give him a loan, you know.
Right.
Wasn't even really the friend. So, yeah, be careful about that. The last thing is do not post anything that you don't want to be public knowledge. What you post is public, and it can be viewed by insurance companies, law enforcement, judges, prospective employers, not to mention your mom.
Right. And your grandma, because I just read my grandson's Facebook page last night, and it was like, oh, my God. Yeah, I think people forget about the public nature of social media, and it's quite okay to be open and sharing, but just pretend you're yelling it from your front porch or putting it in the newspaper, because that's essentially what's happening, or could happen to it. Yeah.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, here's a funny little story. It's kind of funny, but of a somebody I know, his ex-wife, actually lost custody of their son, because she was doing all kinds of drugs and partying and stuff like that. And so she had to only have supervised custody. You know what I mean? If she visited, she had to be supervised.
Right.
So she's been fighting over the years in court so she can get regular visitation and that kind of stuff without without the chaperone. So anyway, in her last court meeting, she's telling the judge, oh, she's all cleaned up, she's done this, and they have her do drug tests and all that kind of stuff. And he goes, okay, well then, what are these pictures of you on Facebook feeding your 19-year-old son alcohol? This was an older son. He goes, I don't think so. And so for another year, it's not going to work. And she had it posted right in her Facebook with pictures
right.
and everything. How dumb.
Yeah, that's unfortunate that people just can't realize that. I've heard stories of employers looking on Facebook to see not only what you're up to, but what kind of friends you're hanging out with.
Right. That's right.
What kind of people you have friends as friends. So while social media is a great way to transform and improve our lives and make communication better, it's something we have to use with caution, just as we have to do with many other things in our lives. That's the point you're getting at, correct?
Yes, that is.
Well, I thank you so much for sharing these tips with us today. We're at the end of the show, and I urge everyone who has been listening to share what you've learned with your family and colleagues. Melissa, please give us your website again for those who may be interested in the personalized computer tutor training that you are offering.
Okay, sure. And as a matter of fact, this everything we've talked about today is posted there. It was my last blog post.
Okay.
So you can kind of you can print it out and stuff too. So it's www.computertutortraining.com.
Okay. All right.
And then I can be found on Facebook at my page is Computer Tutor.
Okay.
And on if you are a Twitter person, I am Melissa Tutors. You know, the little
Okay.
Melissa Tutors.
Right, okay. And on LinkedIn?
I'm, what am I? I think
LinkedIn.
I'm Computer Tutor on there, yeah. But you can find me on Melissa Gazette.
Well, if you go to LinkedIn, you could just put in your name and find it.
Right, you can find
Correct.
Me on
okay.
Melissa Gazette. And,
right.
Gazette is G-U-Z-Z-E-T-T-A.
Okay, okay. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. I want to thank everyone who tuned in to the show and encourage you to join us again next Monday, August 2nd, 2010, at 11 a.m. We're going to have another inspiring and exciting show. In the meantime, be sure to visit my website, ColorYourLifeHappy.com. I'm your host, Flora Brown of Color Your Life Happy, the radio show designed to help you uncover the joy you deserve. I'm coming to you live from Anaheim, California, as I do every Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. I'm going to ask you to have a blessed week, and in the meantime, remember, color your life happy.
Color your life happy. Color.